The cost of being a caregiver ain't cheap. It can cost thousands, sometimes millions of dollars. We're going to talk about it today on Driven by Purpose.
This is Driven by Purpose, a show about finding your purpose, building fulfilling careers, and helping people with disabilities live better lives. Hosted by three men who've lived it and are here to help you do the same. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Clean Logic, a leading bath and skincare company and a true pioneer in creating inclusive workplaces and increasing employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Roosevelt, along with the co-founders of Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation, Mike Gesser and Isaac Shapiro. What's up, fellas?
How you doing, Evan?
What's going on, Evan?
Look, I've always said, I'd love to be rich. Who wouldn't love to be rich? But when you are in charge of caring for somebody with disabilities, you can never have enough money. And I'm talking about millions and millions of dollars, because there is never enough money to make you feel comfortable when you are in charge of caring for somebody with severe disabilities for the rest of their natural lives. And I'm telling you, it's not just hyperbole here. I'm not just like saying stuff to be a sensationalist. I'm telling you that the cost of caring for somebody for 60 to 75 years, when you're talking about everything from medical equipment, doctors, appointments, therapies, all the things that go into caring to somebody with disabilities, it can literally cost you millions of dollars if you don't know what you're doing and you want to give somebody the best of the best of the best to have them live the best possible life with the best possible care. And the thought of that, the idea of that can be really, really, really overwhelming. Fortunately, we have a little bit of experience of this. You know, I have a 10-year-old daughter with severe disabilities. Mike, you have a 12-year-old daughter with severe disabilities. Isaac, your mother is a pioneer in the disability space. She's legally blind and she has been helping people. She's been an advocate. She is an unbelievable person. And you have been a pioneer in the disability space for a very, very long time. I feel like we're pretty well positioned to kind of help people out here and talk about this. So without further delay, let's get into how, number one, we can tell you how expensive it is and maybe how to help people save a few dollars here and there. Mike, why don't you start?
So I'll start by saying this. Yeah, it is very expensive. And I think a lot of it can be daunting, but, one of the things for me, when I think about my career and my earning potential, getting rich to me or making a lot of money isn't just money that I get to put in my bank and do nice things. Like literally the money that I make, I think about it in the sense that I need to put it in an income earning account to be able to afford the care for my daughter, because I wouldn't want her to receive anything less than what myself or my wife is able to provide for her. And that's not cheap.
Yeah.
These are the thoughts that go through my head.
Oh my God. Yep.
There's a friend of mine who's in my Vistage group. He also has a very severely disabled son. And he and I were talking the other day, and I was asking him like, how do you plan for the future? And he's like, I have it all planned out. I've already done the research. He says, I never want my son to be in a state institution. And in order to do that, I need $30 million sitting in a bank. $30 million.
Okay. So a lot of scratchers.
$30 million in a special needs trust earning interest to pay for the care. Now, his son requires 24-hour care, but I feel like there's a lot of people in that same situation. It's expensive.
Well, yeah. Mike, when did that first...
I'm just laughing at how crazy that number is, and I hope nobody interprets that as me laughing at, like, you know, don't misinterpret.
We know where you're coming from,
yeah.
Evan, and
yeah, man.
And I'm glad that you guys have such a great sense of humor and can bring your topic and bring it here.
But if you I can get in. Let me get into that real fast. But Isaac, hold on 1 second. But if you think about it, if you have $30 million, well, that's excessive. But if you have $30 million, but I don't know what the care is. If you have $30 million and you're making 8 to 10% on that money, that's, let's say, $2.5 million on the low side. And then you got to pay taxes on it. So maybe you have $1.5 million at the end. That's $100,000 plus per month. And I know that sounds so much money, but if you need 24-hour care, you have to have multiple people. They're on your payroll the entire time. That's not the cost of medication. That's not the cost of equipment. That's not the cost of any hospital visits or anything. So it's not outrageous when you think of the severity of certain people's medical conditions. I never thought about it like that. But when he explained it to me like that, I said, I hope you make $30 million.
Yeah. It's, I mean, look, my daughter requires, you know, all sorts of care. She has severe cerebral palsy. She needs help with everything, right? She's nonverbal. She's not ambulatory. She can't walk. She needs to be fed, changed, all that stuff, which is why I plan on living forever. And in all seriousness, I mean, I've told you guys privately and publicly, I love my daughter so much. My dream is that I want to outlive her by a day. And I believe that it's not an uncommon feeling in our community.
100%.
I don't want to babble too much about that, but get into that in a different episode. Here are the different kind of pieces of equipment that Sydney requires right now as a 10-year-old. She has a stander, a walker, a wheelchair, an in-home chair, a special bed, a bathing chair, a talking device, a retrofitted van, ramps all over the house. That's just a sample of the things that she requires to live a semi-typical life on a day-to-day basis. And that
she's
costs
only 10 today. She's only 10 today.
She's 10. And that alone costs a fortune. And that doesn't cost the cost of having additional support in the house, trained people that know how to care for her, right? And that doesn't cost medications that we're talking about, very specific medications, people that know how to administer the medications, people specifically trained to be able to give her the kinds of care that she needs, because we can't just go and hire the local kid to babysit her, because the local kid isn't trained to be able to transfer her from the bathtub to her chair, transfer her from the chair to her bed, to be able to administer the medicine, to know what to do if she has a seizure in the middle of the night, which she's had, to know what to do in case she throws up, to know what's, you know, all the different things that are that are situations due to her medical condition that are going to be things that we're going to have to be prepared for the rest of her life. Now, do we have, things available, resources available that we can get help from the government, things like that? Of course, there are things, it varies from state to state, from city to city, from country to country, obviously.
Yeah. So the cost of a caregiver isn't just the financial cost. It's all the decisions you have to make. And so like when we started to like really wrap our head around what Rosie's gonna need, it's not just future, it's also current. And so one of the reasons that it made sense for us to move from Los Angeles to Philadelphia was the programs that the school offered for disabled children, specifically life skills program for Rosie. So you're thinking about where are you gonna live? What schools are they gonna go to? What support are they gonna give? You know, then it goes as far as, you know, you have to, everybody has a budget. Everybody has a certain amount of income that they make. There are things that you just don't expect to pay for. Now you've got to think about how you're spending your money and the activities that you do or the places that you go, the food you buy, so you can be able to provide or get the things that your child or whoever you're providing care for needs. But then there's the later in life part. How are you going to be able to, most people save for retirement.
Yeah.
I have to save for retirement and care for my daughter. So it's a totally different mindset. It's a totally different life. Your financial goals become different. The way you build your retirement, your money, it's totally different. And most people, they don't teach you that in school.
You should start with the regional center. And chances are you probably regional already center. Know that. The regional center, center is where you should start. And the regional center can help point you in a million different directions and help you access resources. The other thing, if you're in California and you are watching this, there is a program called Self-Determination Program, and it can help you and your family find programs and help get funding for those programs that will you can then use to help benefit a person you're caring for that has special needs and disabilities and stuff like that. And we've been taking advantage of those programs. People we know do too, and it can be very, very helpful. So I know this sounds intimidating, but there are lawyers, attorneys, firms that specialize in representing people with disabilities. Those firms will sometimes also, if you just call them up and you do a consultation, they can also tell you, like, if there are places in your state, your community, whatever, resources that will help you. They can put you in the right direction to get resources that might be available to you. I've found that that can be a good resource as well. So those are three good directions to go in if you are having trouble finding money.
Well, I think what I heard from both of you is there's a hard cost, but I think, Mike, what I started you dig into is a little bit, there's a lot of hidden cost. And I think about this going back to our business life, we always say, like, what's the cost, but what's your time and money? Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you guys have a lot of extra just time and effort and just dealing with those hidden costs in there. So what hidden costs surprise you today that you're still dealing with, or, you know, you can share with the audience that maybe they can help them out?
Have you go first? Well, currently I'm dealing with my van. You know, right now, you know, we have a retrofitted, accessible 2019 Toyota Sienna, which has been great, but we have to modify it because it's a rear entry ramp van to accommodate Sydney's wheelchair. And all the retrofitting, it's heavy. And so the van, you know, it's heavier than your typical van, which means that tires run down faster because it handles more weight. And a lot of the stuff on the van just wears down faster than your typical van that doesn't have all the retrofitting on it. And so it just, you know, you don't think about this stuff, but, you know, when you buy a car, you're expected to last a certain amount of time. These vans that accommodate people with special needs, they cost more money. They run down faster. They just take on more wear and tear, and it's expensive. You don't think about that stuff, but I'm dealing with that right now, and it is costly. So that's just one thing that we're dealing with. Also, like, everywhere you go, like when you most homes, private homes, like we're in a home, we've been here for 2 years now. It's right near my kids' school, which is great. We're still right now in the process of putting in ramps and things to make it more accessible for my daughter in her wheelchair. She's getting bigger. Like, it's a great home. It's a nice home. I love it. But, like, there's no home that's reasonably priced in Los Angeles that's, like, fully accessible for people in wheelchairs. There just isn't. I dare you to find me one that's, like, in the valley out here that's, like, fully accessible for somebody in a wheelchair. It's impossible to find. So we're still doing modifications to make it great for her. And that costs money. And especially right now, it ain't cheap.
Mike, what about you?
We had similarly with cars. Like, you have to buy a car that you know can fit your daughter's needs. And when they grow, their needs change. So maybe that means faster changing of the cars. For us, accessibility in our home, when Rosie was younger, when we first moved here, we could carry her up the stairs, but then she became like a person and she's 100 pounds now. And it's difficult for her to walk up the stairs. So we needed to buy a stair chair. So those are several thousand dollars. So there's things that pop up all the time. There's also braces, right? For her feet. Like, I don't buy my other two daughters things like that, like special equipment and anything, everything for disabilities costs way more than everything else does.
So much money. It's so expensive.
Yeah. And as a manufacturer, someone who has an understanding of how much does it cost to make and how much does it cost, right? Like, I see the discrepancies and I'm like, it's crazy. So, like, everything seems to be a little bit different, and, like, we never planned, and things you just don't plan for. When we moved into the house, I never said, we're going to need a stair chair one day. until we needed a stair chair. Do you know what I'm saying? And it's like, all right, well, what does it cost? $5,000 for this. Or, you know, when we built our, we have a deck in our backyard. And when we built the deck, I had to make sure that they put in a ramp so that my daughter didn't fall off trying to, you know, be on the deck. If she wanted to get off, she could use the ramp. So there's all these extra things that typically just aren't part of the plan that you need to include. And it's just, everything is extra.
So how do you guys choose? I mean, you got to do it. So what do you give up, or how do you guys do this to take care so care gets done?
That's a lot of sacrifice, to be honest with you. A lot of parents make sacrifice for their kids. And I'm not saying like we're above and beyond super special people because we do it, because a lot of families have to make sacrifices for their kids. Parents do. Ours is just, to Mike's point, the cost of caring for kids with disabilities and special needs, it's just the way it is. It's so much more expensive. It just is. Like finding, you know, it's like supply and demand, right? It's just the rules of supply and demand. There are far less kids that need these specialized items, so the costs are much more expensive. And so when you need a specialized item for a kid who requires a specialized care, it's just so expensive.
Yeah, they're not producing accessibility equipment. Not mass producing.
No, I wish there was a Costco special for kids,
right?
Like ours,
so
but
there's manual labor that goes into it, and you know, so I understand. I don't love it, but I understand.
Yeah, I get it.
Like, what do you do? You know, so from a very young age, my parents like never let me know. Like, I never had the option to not work or be financially responsible, and I thank them. One of the things I thank them for is instilling like this you have no option to fail mentality. And I never thought that I would be using that to make sure that I earn enough so that accessibility equipment for my daughter isn't a huge financial burden. But I'd be lying if I said like it's not shocking to me every time there's something else you have to do. But like, I won't not allow myself to be able to not, I'm just a lot of nuts. I will always do what I need to do to provide for my daughter, you know,
absolutely.
And I'll figure it out. I think we always have, you know, I thankfully I'm in the position to where it's less of a financial burden, but there's always something and it adds up. And I can't imagine what it's like for people who don't earn a lot of money and are still hit with these surprises. It's terrible.
But again, like that's why I love this community so much, because if there's a million good things about this community, but one of the best parts about this community is that we are always there to help each other out. And when there are people that are hurting and that are in need or that are struggling and, hey, I need this and we share equipment. We help each other out.
Yeah.
If somebody has a lead on somebody on something that's like, hey man, we can get this for this price. Everybody support this company, blah, blah, blah. We share that information. Nobody like hoards the information.
Yeah.
We spread it. We share it.
Yeah.
We help each other out. And that's been so helpful for me and my family. We always try to pay it forward. We notice that in the community. It's been so
absolutely.
You know, it's an amazing community to be a part of. And, you know, it's why one of the main reasons we do the show is we want to try and shout this stuff from the mountaintops, man. When something good happens, we want to be able to tell you about it so that you can go and tell somebody about it, so that you can go and tell somebody about it. So again, with this show, like, subscribe, and share. There's good information here. Use this show to connect with other people. Use the comments to tell people. If there's something that you know that's helped you, that's helped the family, share it in the comments. Spread that information. Tell people. Use this as a forum to help somebody else. That's the point. Anyway, go ahead, Isaac.
Well, I think just to close, I think you two are just great at sharing your family stories, and I think I would love to hear the last thing to close this show out and get you guys continue to be real with our audience. And What is it that you're most afraid of in falling short as a caregiver? Do you guys have so much on your plate, working a job, taking care of your kids, and just all the added stuff that you guys have been talking about over the last couple of shows around travel and caregiver? What are you afraid of as a caregiver?
You don't want to be able to not give your kids all of the resources that they need to be their best version of themselves. You want to be able to give it. I mean, again, I think it's the same thing that a typical parent would want for their typical kid. You want to be able to provide everything that you can for your kids to be able to thrive. It's a little bit more difficult for us because everything is not as readily available. And so it's a little more difficult to access all of the things that you need for your kids when they have severe disabilities, but that's what you want. And that's what we try to do every day. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, my father-in-law said something very true a while ago. He said, "You're only as happy as your saddest child." And I think about that with regards to, I think, all my children, but specifically in regards to Rosie, to making sure that, like, my biggest worry is making sure that she is taken care of. And Evan, to your point, like, I hope I live a day longer than Rosie does, because that way I could make sure, to the best of my ability, that I'm able to provide her with the care that she needs, that she deserves, that she's best. And, like, up until that day or whatever, I am, my biggest thing that I want to make sure of is that she's not sad and she's not missing out on anything. And so, like, my life's work is literally, like, going to be about making sure that she has all that she needs. That is, for me, the motivation. That's why I do everything that I do to the degree that I do it, because my hope is that I'm going to be able to not just provide the material things for her, but I think most importantly, the time, so that I can give her the care that she needs.
Love it.
Thank you guys for sharing that.
All right. Like it, subscribe and comment, and also leave a review. Tell people to tell somebody to watch this show. This is great. We've been doing great and we appreciate all the support, and we mean that from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you for supporting us and continue to support Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation. We will see you next time on Driven by Purpose.